السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and sisters in Islam, yes, indeed, we all seated here to listen to the seerah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I commence with discussing the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would like to mention a few points as to the reason why we need to learn this seerah, the importance of knowing the seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This seerah is a reason for success in this world as well as the hereafter. As far as the hereafter is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That success in the hereafter depends upon the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, we are guaranteed success in the hereafter. And if we fail to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, then only Allah knows what's going to happen to us in the hereafter. And the means of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows in the Holy Quran that إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهُ O Nabi of Allah, tell to your ummah, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهُ If you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي then follow me. Allah is telling the Nabi, tell to the Ummah that if you love Allah, then follow me. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ then Allah will love you in return. So to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ On top of that, what else will Allah give us? Allah said, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ Allah will forgive our sins too. Likewise, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ That one cannot attain perfection in iman. One cannot be called a mu'min until I become more beloved to him. مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ Then his parents, then his children, and then the whole of mankind. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should become more beloved to us than anyone in the world. Only then we can call ourselves mu'min. Only then can we call ourselves believers. So in order to attain this success in the hereafter, it is incumbent that we bring the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our heart. It's incumbent that we follow the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as far as success in this world is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا Indeed, for you in the lifestyle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of examples. In whatever aspect of life it is, if you're looking for the best of examples, then it is in the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is nowhere else. Today, sadly, the media has portrayed that success lies in following so-and-so. And so-and-so is portrayed as a role model and as a hero. And especially our youngsters and even others tend to follow them in every aspect of life. Any aspect of life we take, we tend to follow someone. If we dress like someone. Our appearance, our haircut, etc. is like someone. Likewise, our marriages, we try to follow someone. Our businesses, we try to follow someone. Or what we learned. So, any aspect of life, we are going to follow someone. But if we follow the sunnah of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then definitely we'll have success in that aspect of life. Just for us to understand, today if you take advertisements, why is it that the media tries to portray the superstars or the sports stars in the advertisements? Why? Because our youngsters and elders alike have inclination towards them. And the moment they see their sports star eating a certain kind of food or using a certain kind of thing, then they tend to think, you know, I should also do that. But sadly, we haven't learned about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We haven't learned the seerah of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we don't seem to follow Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all aspects of our life. So in order to attain success in any aspect of life, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of examples. And moreover, besides attaining success in this world and the hereafter, by learning the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we actually abiding by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim." That the Nabi of Allah, the Prophet of Allah, is closer to the mu'mineen, closer to the believers than themselves. And the Mufassirin write under the tafsir of this ayah that it's incumbent upon us that we know about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than we know about our own selves. Our rights towards the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more than our rights towards our own selves. So it's incumbent upon us to know the seerah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in regards to the stories of Anbiya alayhi salam, to the incidents of the prophets mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادًا وَجَاءَكَ فِيهِ هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That these incidents that we mention in the Holy Quran of the different prophets, the objective behind mentioning this incident is مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, so that our hearts attain tranquility. By reading the incidents of the prophets, by understanding and learning the incidents of the prophets عليهم السلام, our hearts attain tranquility. And moreover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِضَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In this we have brought to you the truth, وَمَوْعِضَةٌ, and a lesson for you. In the incidents of the prophets, there is lesson for us. There is so much to learn for us. وَذِكْرَى, and a reminder for us. We are reminded when learning the incidents of the prophets that our abode is the akhirah. We have been sent to this world to earn for the akhirah. وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So these are some of the benefits of learning the incidents of the prophets of Allah عليهم السلام. And the seerah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no exception. So one of the benefits of learning the seerah is لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We'll attain tranquility in our hearts. And as we have mentioned. These are lessons from the seerah. In each and every incident we will be taking out lessons. A lesson to learn for us. And وَذِكْرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this will be a reminder for us about the hereafter. So having this fadail, having these virtues in mind, having these objectives in mind, we are here to learn the seerah of the beloved Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, as the heading suggests, we start off with the lineage, the pure lineage of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In regards to the lineage, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said that أَنَا أَنْفَسُكُمْ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا وَحَسَبًا. And the best from amongst you as far as lineage is concerned. When you talk about lineage, we're talking about the forefathers. Or we call it the pedigree or the forefathers of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am the best from amongst you as far as lineage is concerned. And the purest from amongst you as far as lineage is concerned. Till our father Adam alayhi salam, in the lineage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there hasn't been a zani or a zaniya. There hasn't been zina, there hasn't been fornication. Each and every child that was born from Adam alayhi salam right up to Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every child was born through a marriage, was born through wedlock. There was no child in between amongst the forefathers who was born out of wedlock. These are the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how pure the lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. And in an incident of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, before he accepted Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent letters to various kings. And one of the letters went to Hirqal, or Hirqal, we can pronounce it in different ways, who is known as Caesar, the Caesar of Rome, the Emperor of Rome. When the letter went to him, he found out that there is a caravan from amongst the Arabs who's staying close by. So he called that caravan, and from that caravan, the closest in family to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Sufyan. And one of the questions that the emperor Hirqal Caesar asked Abu Sufyan was كَيْفَ نَسَبُهُ فِيكُمْ. Because now we must understand that this emperor Caesar had knowledge about the Prophet who was to come. Because he had knowledge of the Bible. And the last Prophet to come is mentioned in the Bible. And the sifat and the qualities of the Prophet to come have also been mentioned in the Bible. And he was a knowledgeable person. He was an alim as far as the Bible was concerned. So he knew all the qualities of the last Prophet. So he asked Abu Sufyan, كَيْفَ نَسَبُهُ فِيكُمْ. How is his lineage amongst you? So Abu Sufyan could not lie there, although he hadn't accepted Islam. He did not lie because the Arabs did not have the quality of lying. They found it shameful to lie or to be called a liar. So he said, هُوَ فِينَا ذُو نَسَبٍ. He's from amongst the best of nasabs, best of lineages from amongst them. So upon that Hirqal agrees, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ تُبَعَثُ فِي أَحْسَابِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلُ تُبَعَثُ فِي أَحْسَابِ قَوْمِهَا. Likewise, the prophets are sent amongst the best lineages from amongst the nation. So this shows that the lineage of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best. It was the purest. And when it comes to the lineage of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, historians mention the lineage, the forefathers, right up to Adam alayhi salam. And we find in books of history the names mentioned right up to Adam alayhi salam. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentioned the lineage, then he would stop at Adnan. And he would say that those who were involved in this, in mentioning lineages, or we can even call it genealogy. Those who are involved in this have made mistakes after Adnan. That is, up to Adnan is authentic and we are 100% sure these are the forefathers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But after Adnan, although historians have mentioned it, there is a doubt, there is a difference of opinion in some of the forefathers. So we too, taking the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will mention up to Adnan. The forefathers of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam up to Adnan, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bin Abdullah, bin Abdul Muttalib, bin Hashim, bin Abd Manaf, bin Qusay, bin Kilab, bin Murrah, bin Ka'b, bin Luay, bin Ghalib, bin Fahr, bin Malik, bin Nadr, bin Kinana, bin Khuzaymah, bin Mudrika, bin Ilyas, bin Mudar, bin Nazar, bin Ma'ad, bin Adnan. 21 forefathers of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have reached us with authentic chain of narratives. We have no doubt that these are indeed the forefathers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, in brief, wherever possible, we would discuss each and every one of them, starting from Adnan, the 21st forefather of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Adnan, it is definite, there's no doubt that Adnan is from amongst the children of Ismail. But between Adnan and Ismail, how many generations there are, as I said, there is difference of opinions. The historians have mentioned from 30 to 40 generations between Adnan and Ismail. But this is confirmed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from amongst the descendants of Ismail. There's no doubt in that. But who are the descendants between Adnan and Ismail? We have doubts, so we will not mention that. We will mention only up to Adnan. And even if we take the lineage from the mother of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it meets up to the lineage of the father as the fifth father. Amina binti Wahab binti Abd Manaf binti Amina binti Wahab bin Abd Manaf bin Zuhra bin Kilab bin Murrah. So at Kilab, we said Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab. The Kilab bin Murrah is one of the forefathers from the father's side and is also one of the forefathers from the mother's side. So the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meet up at Kilab from both the sides. But we'll discuss in detail each and every forefather from the father's side. First is Adnan, the 21st forefather of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most of the riwayat that I'll be mentioning, now we have a lot of information about these forefathers, but we'll be discussing only those that are mentioned in authentic sources. And one of the sources that we have chosen is the Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd. Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd talks about the lineage and the forefathers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that it's mentioned that Adnan was from amongst those who used to follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let us understand that after Ismail alayhi salam, there were no prophets amongst the children of Ismail alayhi salam right up to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The brother of Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, his progeny were full of Anbiya alayhi salam, were full of prophets. And we know the prophets of Banu Israel were all from the progeny of Ishaq alayhi salam. But his brother Ismail alayhi salam, in his progeny there was only Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So those Arabs that were between Ismail alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to follow the deen and the religion. Those who were upon the right path used to follow the deen and the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Some of them in between, who were in contact with any of the followers of other prophets, like the followers of Isa alayhi salam, they would have accepted the religion of Isa, those who were in contact with the followers of Musa alayhi salam would have accepted the religion of Musa. But in majority, those who are on the right path were upon the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Adnan, from amongst the other forefathers whom we'll mention, Adnan was also following the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam to say he was on the right path. Thereafter his son Ma'al. Imam Tabari mentions an incident that this Ma'ad was during the time of Bukht al-Nasr. Bukht al-Nasr was one of the kings of Persia, one of the famous kings. And during the time of Bukht al-Nasr, there was a prophet of Allah called Armiyah bin Halfiyah. Armiyah bin Halfiyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Armiyah bin Halfiyah to take this son of Adnan Ma'ad into his custody, into his protection, to protect the son of Adnan, because in his progeny is going to be the last prophet. So this was Ma'ad, the son of Adnan. And then we come to Nazar, the son of Ma'ad, Nazar. Nazar, the word Nazar in Arabic means unique. And there was a uniqueness to Nazar when he was born. His father Ma'ad saw this uniqueness in him, that a strange light was seen upon his forehead, which ulama interpret as the light of Nubuwa, as the light, as the nur of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was seen on his forehead. His father was so happy about this, because of the uniqueness of that, his name was kept Nazar, and father, he fed everyone of that locality. He had a grand feast on the birth of this Nazar. Like later, after Nazar, the son of Nazar being Mubar. Mubar, his name was Amr. But he was called Mubar because Mubar means sourness. And he used to like food that was sour. He used to like food that was sour, that's why he was called Mubar. And Mubar was known to be a very friendly person. In our language we would say a very jolly person. He would befriend anyone would talk to him, and he was that type of a person. And he was the first person to start singing to the camels when riding them. The Arabs had a habit that when riding the camels, they would sing to them so that the camel would also be, not become lazy and not become tired. This sunnah or this habit was started by Mubar. It was started by Mubar. Sadly, we have turned it into haram, and we see some of our Muslims too, when driving, they prefer the music on or prefer the songs on. But this is haram. The Arabs had the habit that they used to sing anashid. They used to sing praises of Allah, etc., so that the camel doesn't become lazy and doesn't become tired. And from amongst the forefathers about whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that they were upon the correct religion, Mudar was one of them. Mudar was one of them. And after Mudar came his son Ilyas. And we know that we have a practice of slaughtering when we go for Hajj. But the Arabs had a practice that they used to bring the animal of slaughter from their hometown. For example, if one was traveling from Medina, he would bring his goat or cow, etc., or his camel from Medina. And that would be a very sacred animal. So sacred that some of them even refused to mount on them. And they would respect it. And even the bandits, when there were certain signs to say that this is a hadi. It was called the hadi, and this is a sacred animal. Even the bandits never stole or attacked the hadi. So the one to start the practice of this hadi was Ilyas. His name was Ilyas. And he too was from amongst them who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he used to follow the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so don't say anything bad about it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a riwayah mentioned many of his forefathers, saying that they are from amongst the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam, so do not talk bad about them. And Ilyas was one of them. And the son of Ilyas was Mudrika. Mudrika, his name was Amr, and some say his name was Amir, but it's more correct that his name was Amr. But he was known as Mudrika because Adraka Yudriku Idrak, those who know Arabic would understand Mudrika is the one who attains something. Mudrik is the one who attains something. And he had attained all kinds of respect and all kinds of status. That's why he was known as Mudrik. Here what we are trying to highlight is when we look at each and every forefather of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each and every one we see was special amongst his people. So Mudrika was also special. He was special that he had the highest of respect and the highest of statuses. That's why he was called Mudrika. And after Mudrika came Khuzaymah, and Khuzaymah is also one of the names about whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Do not say anything bad about them, for verily they are from those who follow Ibrahim alayhi salam." And then came Kinana, the son of Khuzaymah, Kinana. Kinana was very famous amongst all the Arabs. Famous for his knowledge, famous for his nobility, famous for his status. So much so that people used to travel from far and wide, from different parts of the Arab land, just to come and meet him and to benefit from him. This was Kinana. And the son of Kinana was An-Nadr. His son was An-Nadr. And his name was Qais. The reason why he was called An-Nadr was because of his beauty. His face was very bright and very beautiful. And because of this, he was called Nadr. And it's the children of Nadr that are called the Quraysh. So when discussing the seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll mention that he's from the family of Quraysh. Quraysh started from Nadr. Some say they started from his grandson, Fahr, but the correct opinion is Quraysh started from Nadr. And the reason Quraysh are called Quraysh is because Quraysh was a creature in the sea. It was a fish or some other creature in the sea which used to overpower all other creatures. It used to eat all other creatures of the sea, but there was no creature in the sea that could eat up Quraysh, that fish or that creature. There was no creature or fish in the sea that could eat Quraysh. Likewise, the progeny of Nadr or the Quraysh, they were so strong, so brave, and they overpowered others so much that no one could overpower them. They always remained ghalib, they always remained in power. That's why they were called the Quraysh. They are the progeny of Nadr. And the son of Nadr is Malik. He's also known as Abu al-Harith. He was also very much respected and from amongst the chieftains of the Arabs. And his son was known as Fahr. And about Fahr I told you, some say that the Quraysh are actually the progeny of Fahr. But the correct opinion is they are the progeny of Nadr. And after Fahr is Ghalib and Lu'ay. Ghalib and Lu'ay, about whom we do not have much information, but we know that they were from amongst the noblest of their community. And after Lu'ay was Ka'ab. Now the speciality of Ka'ab was that he was the first person to gather people on the day of Jumu'ah. So to say, this practice of Jumu'ah or the Sunnah of Jumu'ah was started by this forefather of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ka'ab. He used to gather people on the day of Jumu'ah, Friday. And in those days, Friday was called Yawmul Aruba. Yawmul Aruba, but he changed the name to Yawmul Jumu'ah. So he's the one who gave the name Yawmul Jumu'ah to Yawmul Aruba. And he used to gather the people, he used to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is the one who created the skies and the earth and everything that you see around you, the sun and the moon and the stars. Everything has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to advise people, call them towards good, call them towards strengthening family ties. And he used to advise the people that in my progeny, amongst my children, there is going to be the last prophet. If any one of you is living during his time, then make it's incumbent upon you to accept him and to follow him. And he used to regret that only if I was alive during the time of that prophet, I would accept him and I would follow him. So this was Ka'ab. And the son of Ka'ab was Murra. Murra, now those who know Arabic, Murra means bitter. Murra means bitter. He was known as bitter amongst his enemies. The enemies used to fear him so much that he was known as Murra, very bitter amongst his enemies. That showed his courageousness and his bravery. He was a very brave and courageous person. And the son of Murra was Kilab. Now a lot of the youngsters who study Seerah, they find it difficult to understand that how come a person's name is Kilab? Because Kilab is the plural of the word Kalb. And Kalb, we know, is a dog. But we should understand that the practice of Arabs was such that when they named their children, they named their children after ferocious animals. They used to name their children Fahad, Dib, Cheetah, or what do you call, Wolf, or even Kalb, dog. Why ferocious animals? Because they used to say that we name our children for our enemies. So listening to their enemy, listening to their names, their enemies should get scared. That's why they used to give such names to their children. And when it came to their slaves, they used to give them very soft names, you know, names which are soft in nature, to their slaves. Because they say, we name our slaves for ourselves, but we name our children for our enemies. So that's why his name was Kilab. And his son was Qusay. His son was Qusay. Now you can see we're coming very close to the grandfathers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay. So Qusay, he was also known as Majma' or Mujmi'. He was also known as Mujmi'. Why Mujmi'? Because he is the one who gathered the Quraysh into Makkah and the outskirts. Before, the Quraysh used to live in desert, in different parts of the desert or in caves, etc. Qusay, he offered them land. He offered them land in Makkah. He offered them land in the outskirts of Makkah, and he gathered all of them in Makkah. That's why he's called Mujmi'. Mujmi' in Arabic means the one who gathers. And he was a very wise person. Qusay was a very wise person. Before Islam came, he used to advise people, and one of his advisors was Ijtanibul Khamar, stay away from Khamar. فَإِنَّهَا تُصْلِحُ الْأَبْدَانِ وَتُفْسِدُ الْأَذْهَانِ. Although Khamar, that is wine, alcohol, it gives strength to the body, in the sense it helps the body or gives some kind of strength to the body, but it falters the mind, it spoils the mind. So do not have khamar, do not have alcohol. Such were his advisors. And the Arabs respected him and they followed him. And he is the one who created Darun Nadwa. Now Darun Nadwa was a centered place where the Arabs used to come and make mashura. And it was a place where mashura used to take place for all matters, whether it be a matter of marriage or proposal, whether it be a war that they're going to have, all mashura used to take place there. And he was the head of all departments. Qusay was the head of all departments. So all mashuras used to come to him and he used to make the decision. And even any disputes that used to take amongst the Arabs, they used to come to Darun Nadwa and Qusay used to sort out these disputes. So Qusay used to be the head of all departments, but after the demise of Qusay, what happened was all departments were distributed amongst others. And each one was head of one department. But during the time of Qusay, he was so wise and so knowledgeable that they made him the head of all departments. This was Qusay, one of the forefathers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the son of Qusay was Abdul Manaf. Abdul Manaf, his name was Mughira. His name was Mughira. Now, we can see each and every forefather had noble qualities. And all of them were handsome. And Mughira was amongst them, who was very handsome. So handsome that he was known as Qamarul Basha, the moon of the valley. The moon of the valley. That was Qusay. And he used to say, "An al-Mughira ibn." Sorry, that was Abd Manaf, whose name was Mughira. He used to say, "An al-Mughira ibn Qusay, amirun bi taqwa Allah wa silati rahim." That I am Mughira ibn Qusay. I enjoin people upon taqwa Allah, upon fearing Allah subhanahu wa taala, and upon strengthening their family ties. So this was Abd Manaf, who was known as Mughira. And then we come to Hashim. Hashim was the great grandfather of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was also Amr. Hashim's name was Amr. Why was he called Hashim? Hashim is the Hashama. If you take the word Hashama in Arabic, it means to break something into pieces. Hashim was very generous. He was so generous that whenever there was a famine in Makkah, what he used to do, he used to break the roti or the bread. He used to break them into pieces, mix them with curry, and put them in a big bowl and keep it for the Arabs to eat. So whoever wanted to come and eat, they call it tarib. Tarib, in our term, something closest to tarib would be takkadi. Something close to tarib, where you have flour mixed with curry. But this was tarib, where pieces of bread would be put in a curry. And it would be kept for people to eat. Because of this generous act of his, he was known as Hashim. And in generosity, he used to, even travelers that used to come, he used to provide them with camels to travel. Those who did not have any conveyance to travel, he used to give them conveyance. And Hashim, besides being generous, he was also very handsome. People could see the light of Nubuwa on his face. The light of prophethood could be seen on the face of Hashim. So much so that the ulama, the scholars amongst the Banu Israel, amongst the Jews and the Christians, the scholars amongst them, used to come to him and they used to respect him a lot. They used to kiss his hand in respect for him. That's how bright his face was and that's how noble he was. And many of them even offered their daughters to him. The ulama of the Banu Israel, they offered their daughters to him, but he did not accept. So much so, even the emperor of Rome, emperor of the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, he knew about the qualities of Hashim, and he offered his daughter to Hashim. And his daughter was also known for her beauty. But his objective was so that Hashim comes into his palace. And that nur, the light of prophethood comes into his house and his palace. But Hashim refused that. He refused the proposal and he refused to get married to the daughter of the emperor of Rome. Yes, from amongst those things Hashim is famous for, the great grandfather of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is he's the one who started 2 travels for business per year. Now, when we study the tafsir of Surah Quraysh, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشْ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Quraysh were known for traveling twice a year. Once they would travel in summer to the cooler parts, that is to Syria, to Gaza, to Angora, which was part of the Byzantine Empire. They used to travel to those parts for trade in summer. And in winter, they used to travel to the south, to Yemen and Ethiopia. In those days, it was known as Habasha, etc. That's how the Arabs already had, business ties with Syria and also with Yemen and Habasha, Ethiopia. So he is the one who started this practice of traveling twice a year. This was Hashim, the great grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was also known for feeding the Hujjaj. He used to be so generous that he used to feed in such a way, as I told you, he used to break up the pieces of roti and put them in curry, and he used to keep it on a raised platform so that the Hujjaj, while traveling from their camel, they would not have to get down from their camel. Sitting on their camel, they ate from that big bowl, they ate from it and they carried on. They ate from the bowl and they carried on. Such was the generosity of Hashim. These were the qualities of the forefathers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now it is said about Hashim, in one of his travels to Syria, if you look at geographically, Medina is on the way to Syria from Mecca. When traveling from Syria to Mecca, Medina comes on the way. And when he stopped in Medina once, he saw a very beautiful woman. And this woman had very noble characteristics, and she was a very knowledgeable person when he inquired. So he inquired about her, is she married or is she divorced or what's the story? Her name was Salma binti Amr. Salma binti Amr. And she was from Banu Najjar. And we know when we study Sira, we will understand that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, in whose house Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and stayed first in Medina, was from Banu Najjar, from this family. So Salma binti Amr, when he inquired about her, she was a mutallaka. She had been given talaq, she had been divorced, and she had two children. So he proposed, Hashim proposed Salma, because she was beautiful, she had good character, and she was very knowledgeable. And she accepted the proposal because Hashim also had very noble characteristics, and he was also very handsome. And when Hashim, he got married to Salma there in Medina, and he had a grand feast where he invited everyone in Medina. And after that, the marriage was consummated. Hashim lived with Salma and he had a child. And when that child was born, there was one strand of white hair. And that's why he named that son Shayba. Shayba in Arabic means old. So Shayba or Shaybatul Hamd. That was the name that Hashim gave his son, who's going to be the grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the child was born, Hashim traveled. He traveled to Gaza. And Gaza, which we famously known as Gaza today, we call it the Gaza, which is in Palestine. Gaza. He traveled to Gaza. He passed away at a very young age of 25 in Gaza, whilst in travel. And he is buried there in Gaza, Hashim, the great grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now his son Shayba is known as Abdul Muttalib. Now we will understand why he is known as Abdul Muttalib. His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather Shaybatul Hamd. Shaybatul Hamd is known as Abdul Muttalib. Now we understood that Hashim had gone to Gaza and he passed away there. So Salma with her son was alone in Medina. She raised her son in Medina alone. And later on, the brother of Hashim, whose name was Muttalib, he was informed of his nephew who was in Medina. So he traveled to Medina now to fetch his nephew, because he's from his family of Quraysh. He has to stay in Makkah. So he traveled there and he took his nephew with him. He took his nephew, whose name was Shayba. And who is this person taking Shayba? Muttalib. Do not confuse the names. The brother of Hashim who passed away was Muttalib. And the son of Hashim was Shayba. Now the uncle and the nephew, they're traveling together. Uncle is sitting in front, Muttalib, and behind him is Shayba. Now when they were traveling, Shayba was a young child. And when traveling in a desert, you know, on a camel, etc., all that dust on his face and his clothes were ragged, etc. When he reached Makkah, people started asking Muttalib, who is this behind you? They do not know he is his nephew. So who is this behind you? Who is this traveling with you? So out of shame that, you know, such a person in ragged clothes and such a dirty person, how can I call him my nephew? He said, this is my slave. This is my slave. And slave in Arabic is Abd. So he came to be known as Abdul Muttalib, the slave of Muttalib. That's how he got his name, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after he was cleansed and he took a wash and he wore new clothes, he told the people, oh, this is my nephew. But since he was known as Abdul Muttalib, that name stuck with him, and till the rest of his life he was known as Abdul Muttalib. So much so that many of us do not know that the grandfather of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Shaybatul Hamd. We all know him as Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib was also handsome like his forefathers. He was a very handsome person. And he was even more generous than his father Hashim. And he brought this practice of spending upon the poor in the month of Ramadan. Although in those days fasting wasn't made incumbent in the month of Ramadan, he used to spend a lot upon the poor in the month of Ramadan. And he was the first who started this practice of secluding himself for ibadah in the cave of Hira. One of the reasons, when he studied Sira, one of the reasons Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Hira as the cave to seclude himself for meditation etc. is that his grandfather Abdul Muttalib chose that cave. And that was a cave from where in those days the Kaaba used to be seen. It was a place where he could see the Kaaba and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Abdul Muttalib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him very unique qualities. One of the qualities was, like the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially saw dreams which used to come true, Abdul Muttalib also used to see dreams which used to come true. It is said that ilham, wahi can only come upon a prophet, but ilham, some inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come upon the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, those who are close to Allah. So ilham used to come upon Abdul Muttalib. And one of the incidents of ilham upon Abdul Muttalib is one day he was sleeping in the area of Hatim, in the Mataf, the area of the Hatim he was resting. So someone came to him in a dream and said, Ihfir barra, ihfir barra, dig barra. So in his dream he asked that person, what is barra? So that person disappeared. The next day that same person came, he was again resting in the Hatim, and he said, Ihfir mabnuna, ihfir mabnuna. These are all different names of the well of Zamzam. So he asked him, what's Mabnuna? Before he could answer, he vanished from there. And third day he came, same thing happened, he was resting, he saw a dream, he said, Ihtir Tayyiba, dig up Tayyiba. Again he asked him, what's Tayyiba? And that person vanished. On the fourth day, that same person came in the same situation and said, Ihtir Zamzam, dig up Zamzam. Upon this, Abdul Muttalib asked him, what is Zamzam? Upon this, that person now answered and said, Zamzam is a well of water, and explained what kind of well. Zamzam, you must know, was famous amongst the Arabs, they knew. But Zamzam was closed up. Zamzam was closed up, there's a long incident behind it, no time to go through that incident. But Zamzam was closed up due to some reason and they did not know exactly where the well of Zamzam was. Now this person guided him to the exact point where the well of Zamzam was. You can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing for Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come. That Allah is preparing all everything for him. Now even the well of Zamzam is shown to Abdul Muttalib. Now Abdul Muttalib goes to his people and tells him, you know what, I saw a dream like this and the well of Zamzam is there. The people said, we don't believe you. We are not going to dig the well of Zamzam just because you saw a dream. This is just a dream. Carry on, they said. But Abdul Muttalib was convinced. He and his son Harith, Abdul Muttalib and his son Harith, they began digging. He used to dig and Harith used to take the sand and put it out. Dig and take the sand and put it out. And slowly, slowly, they reached the water of Zamzam. And Abdul Muttalib made it such that people can benefit from the water of Zamzam. So Abdul Muttalib was the reason why Zamzam is available for us today. He is the one who dug up this well of Zamzam after it was covered. We know the initial story of Ismail alayhi salam, due to whom we got Zamzam. But this is the second incident where after it was covered up, it again became apparent in the time of Abdul Muttalib. And when Abdul Muttalib was given great ni'mah, Zamzam is a great ni'mah, great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So upon this he made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made a promise that, oh Allah, if I get 10 sons, if I get 10 sons, I will sacrifice one of them in your path, in your name. At that time it was a habit of sacrificing children for the sake of Allah. So now what happened? Allah blessed him with 10 sons. Allah blessed Abdul Muttalib with 10 sons, and we know one of them is going to be the father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah. And Abdullah had 9 other brothers. So now when he got the 10 sons, now again I told you, he used to see dreams which were truthful. So in the dream a voice said, Ya Abdul Muttalib, awfi bi nadrika li rabbi hadha al-bayt. Oh Abdul Muttalib, fulfill your vow now, fulfill your promise that you made to the Rabb of this base, to the Rabb of this Kaaba. So Abdul Muttalib said, now I have to fulfill my vow. So he put lots amongst his sons. Arabs had the habit of putting lots. So he put lots. There are different ways of putting lots. The way we put lots is we write names on different pieces of paper. We put them all together and you take one name. That is drawing lots. So he drew lots. And the name that came was Abdullah, the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was the most beloved to Abdul Muttalib. From amongst his 10 sons, he used to love Abdullah the most. So he was very sad, but now it's a vow, he has to fulfill it. So he took his son to the haram and he was about to slaughter his son. So his daughters, they started crying. They said, oh father, how can you sacrifice our brother? Don't sacrifice our brother, but instead sacrifice 10 camels. Don't sacrifice our brother, sacrifice 10 camels. Because in those days, the blood money for one person, when a person was killed, one was qisas, taking a life for a life. If a life wasn't taken, the blood money was 10 camels. So he said, they said, why don't you sacrifice 10 camels? So he drew lots again. He put 10 camels, and in those days they drew lots with swords, with arrows, etc. So he put 10 camels on one side and the name of Abdullah on the other side. He drew lots, again the name of Abdullah comes. So he increased 10 to 20. He drew lots, again the name of Abdullah. Increased it to 30, to 40, to 50, to 60, 70, 80, 90, and it came up to hundreds. And when he drew lots, after increasing it to 100 camels, 100 camels came up. And upon this he said, Allahu Akbar. And he was very happy. And it's from that time that the Arabs had a habit, the blood money for a person from 10 camels was changed to 100 camels. From this practice of Abdul Muttalib. He was a chieftain, he was one of the noblest from amongst them. So due to his practice of, he slaughtered 100 camels after that. Instead of his son, he slaughtered 100 camels. And because of that practice of his, Arabs later, and even in Islam after that, even in Islam, after the advent of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blood money in Islam is 100 camels or equivalent in money. 100 camels or equivalent in money. And it's due to this reason that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known as Ibnud Dabihain. Ibnud Dabihain. The son of the two who were slaughtered. One Dabih we know was Ismail alayhi salam, who was about to be slaughtered and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped Ibrahim from doing it. And the other was Abdullah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his forefathers had two Dabih. Two of them who were about to be slaughtered. Ibn Dabihain. And Abdul Muttalib was different from the rest of the Arabs. He had different qualities. He never used to drink or involve in fornication or in burying his children alive, burying the daughters alive like the rest of the Arabs. He enjoined his children upon good manners. And he asked them to stay away from all these practices. And he asked them to stay away from oppression, from oppressing people. And because he was a noble person and he was a chieftain, he used to stop people from drinking, from zina, from burying their daughters alive, and he used to stop people from breaking their vows, etc. And he used to stop them from marrying their own sisters. The Arabs had a custom of marrying their own sisters. He stopped them from marrying their own sisters, marrying their maternal or paternal aunts. He used to stop them from doing this. Many a practice that Abdul Muttalib enjoined upon or stopped people from later became the practice of Islam. Such was the nobility of Abdul Muttalib. And as I said, he had this special quality that he used to get ilham and he used to see dreams which used to come true. So this we have reached the grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We could have discussed the father of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we have taken enough time. In our next session, inshallah, we plan to, inshallah, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have it on a monthly basis. In such a way that nothing is continued from one session to another, so that if one misses one session too, he can come for the third session and still carry on. But if one is present for all the sessions, then inshallah, by the end of all our sessions, he will have studied the complete seerah, or as much as possible. Not too detailed, but in concise, the complete seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what we have planned. With the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we plan to do it on a monthly basis. Inshallah, a number will be circulated amongst you. Whoever wishes to be informed about this program and any other programs we have as a group called Al-Islah, we plan to do these programs under the name Al-Islah. So anyone who wants to be informed of all the programs that Al-Islah does, can text their names either through WhatsApp or better, but if not, at least through text, saying that I would like to be registered. We won't send you any other messages, don't worry. We will send you only reminders or any reminders of any other programs that are going to happen in the future. But yes, from what we study, we call this lessons from the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We study that even the forefathers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had very noble characteristics, and this reflected in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was a build up to the prophethood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to grant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see from amongst the qualities that people look for in a person that they follow, all these qualities were found in the forefathers and then in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from amongst the qualities we discussed, one was lineage. The lineage was pure, as we discussed right at the beginning. And the second one is they were all very good looking, they were handsome. Noor and light was seen on their faces, their faces were bright. And their faces were such that it was loving to look at. And they were all brave, they were generous, and they had a very good memory, and they had a lot of ghayrah, they had a lot of shame, and they were very eloquent. These were some of the sifat that the forefathers of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, and this was a build up to the prophethood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to grant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn in detail the seerah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us profound love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, profound love for the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as his family and his forefathers, and make us from amongst those on the day of Qiyamah who will be granted water from the hands of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the pond of Kawthar. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim. O Allah, send your choices of blessings upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala khayril khalqi kullihim, who is the best of all creations. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.